My Love of Life Energy is a podcast created by Anna Scott. Anna knows that every human being sees life uniquely. In this podcast, she will talk to people and learn from them. These conversations are to shine the brilliance of each human being she speaks to. Join her. After each exploration, you will expand on your insights and see truth and beauty.
Good morning and good afternoon, and welcome to my podcast, My Love of Life Energy. And I'm so honored and touched and thrilled to have Aviva Black as my guest today. And Aviva is a writer, and she has a beautiful company called Family Love Letters, and we'll tell you more about it. But when I met her through BNI, and you can listen to one of those podcasts about BNI, and this is the power of it. I met her, and I instantly fell in love with this human being. I was like, who are you? And I could feel the love and care that emanates from her. So with that, Aviva, I'm just so thrilled to have you here.
Thank you. I am delighted to be here with you, Anna. And I feel the same. We just gravitated towards each other. Beautiful.
We did in that little training. So Aviva, would you tell the audience for who's listening about your what family love letters are and what they are, and then how you came into it?
Yeah, sure. So Family Love Letters is an avenue where people share their stories and values and lessons learned and wishes in a letter with their family. And I came into this because after my father died, my brother, sister, and I were cleaning out his study, going through his things. And when I opened the desk drawer of his mid-century desk that I now work at, underneath his brass letterhead opener that I now use, I found an envelope. So it was sitting there in plain view. Every time he opened the drawer, there was an envelope that was addressed to my brother, sister, and me. And so I pulled out the pages of this typed letter and read it aloud to my siblings. And as I did, you know, this was a period of grief, but it was surreal also. And my father told us not only some of his stories, but also all of the valuable experiences that he had and the takeaways from those experiences. And what he expected of us is being active citizens in the world. And he described his love for each of us and his adoration for my mother. And it really captured who he was. You know, it was filled with wisdom, but also his humor and his warmth, with every word wrapped in love. So this was an enduring connection that he created for us. And it's also something that I go to when I'm needing to be grounded. You know, when things in the world are feeling chaotic or I just need to have that link to him, I take out pages of this letter and it helps ease me. And it was a remarkable gift that he created, you know, that he gave us, but it came easily to him. My father was a rabbi, so he was used to not only writing, but to speaking for him from the heart and making himself vulnerable. And he also did something else that was really remarkable. He picked out the nugget, you know, of life and of his teachings, of what he wanted to parlay to us. And he put into words like the most important pieces that he felt that he needed to share with us. That is really hard to do. There were many things that he could have added. He could have written a memoir, but he didn't. He chose to write a letter that we would read and reread and really take in. So knowing that this was easy for him and nearly impossible for everybody else, I created Family Love Letters, and I work one-on-one with individuals. So all the client has to do is show up, and I have prompts to guide us through conversations, but it really does feel like an organic conversation. And it's an opportunity for people to speak, you know, to share their stories, to share the struggles that they've gotten through and how, to share their triumphs and how they met their beloveds and what it was like to be a parent and what it continues to be like. And I then put the letters together, and they're intimate. They're in the client's words, but they're intimate letters that are written directly from the client to their family. And it's something that's, you know, cherished in the moment and also something that is passed on. So it not only tells about that person, of course it does, but it also tells about the entire family, talks about lineage and the people that came before, the seeds that were planted and that were passed down. And, you know, it's these things that are quite often lost. Another thing I want to tell you, Anne, is that this is just remarkable to me, because I told you that it was a letter that was in plain sight for my father, right? Every time he opened the drawer, he wrote that letter 35 years before he died. 35 years. Okay, so I'm older than he was when he wrote the letter. That's how important it was to him to write this letter. So every time he opened that drawer to take out that letter opener and that deck of well-worn cards, because he played solitaire at every single one of his breaks, he saw that letter. So it was not something that was, you know, in the, like, the recesses of his mind. It was there. It was really front and center, and it was really important. So he continued to have that conversation with himself.
Do you think that he edited it? I'm just so curious, throughout life.
No, he didn't edit it. And I, you should know that when he wrote it on, like, the original Apple IIe. I mean, what, like, things, technology changed. I don't know where it would have been saved at that point. Floppies, like, where, what would it have been on? You know, he didn't edit it. And similarly, I don't have my clients, you know, if they're younger when they write this, I say, don't edit this letter. Write an addendum, because it captures a lens at a certain period, your lens at a certain period of time. And that's magical. Like, for, if we wrote a letter now, you know, maybe there will be things that change. Maybe a perspective will have changed. His values didn't change. They are the same.
Oh, wow.
But, right. But maybe we have something else that we would like to add. Why change the letter? It's like, you know, it's like looking back at a journal, you know, our perspectives of the time. I mean, that's a gift to ourselves to keep it as is.
You know, it just dawned on me. It really struck me that how I've been thinking about you and this business has just changed dramatically. Because I've been thinking about it, older people. Like, I didn't know that your father, the age he wrote it. And I can envision people when they first have a child is to write the letter.
Isn't that a beautiful thing to do? I mean, I agree with you. I agree. Did you write a letter when your children were born?
No, but like all of a sudden, I mean, what is striking me is, I think as a parent, we have such love and devotion to our children. Mm-hmm. And when they're first born, it's like it gets birthed with them. That was my experience. And the things that I've, because I had a child, who I became was so different. Mm-hmm. And if I had written a letter, it hasn't changed. What you just said, my values have not changed.
Right. Right. Yeah, I did write a letter to my, did I write to both of them? I know I did to my first, maybe at year one. Before that, forget it. You know, you're tired, you're busy. And life picks up from there. You know, it does. My letter that I wrote to her was about my love for her. It wasn't about my values and my experiences necessarily. So, but I, how about this idea? When you first have a grandchild, you write a letter.
Oh my God, I just have chills. I'm going to cry. There's something that, especially in our culture, what you just said, the tradition and the family tradition, like, you know, we come from other people, and to stay connected to what that lineage is and to know them.
Right. Have you seen Finding Your Roots? Have you ever watched that show? The Finding Your Roots, it's the Henry Louis Gates? I think that's his name. And he's an historian. And the show is about, it usually features two celebrities, two well-known people. And of course, they have a huge staff that does all of the genealogy work and connects them back to great, great. I mean, beyond where either of us could probably go. I mean, for sure, in terms of the breadth and depth. And you see the reaction to people who are hearing the stories of those that came before them that they didn't even know they existed, right? We don't know our great, great, great grandparents. Most of them went through tremendous hardships, tremendous, whether it's slavery or famines or, you know, the Holocaust, like major, major things that happened. And even though these celebrities did not know the people that are being, you know, discussed, they can't help but cry and you can't. And yes, it's because it's so moving and it's their family, but also the people that came before, they sacrificed. I mean, it may not have been a chosen sacrifice, but it's a sacrifice that was made on behalf of future generations, you know, and to me, it's just so profound. It's so profound, you know, and the resilience that's passed down.
So, you know, I study this thing called the gene keys, and there's two gene keys that you're mentioning right now. And I had never seen the power of what they were talking about until right now, based on what you're saying, because I can feel it through you. Mm-hmm. One is the first one is the 19th gene key, and it's about codependence to sensitivity to sacrifice. But it's saying that people in life came before us so that we could survive. They did it for us. And that we struggled, life struggles, but that is part of the gig, but we're persistent. And if we didn't struggle, we would not still be here. And that's what our family did. And when you're saying it, I just have new reverence for my lineage that I've never had.
Oh, that really resonated with me, Anna. It really resonated with me. I mean, if people were, I mean, imagine someone's, you know, grandparents were slaves, who didn't know that the future would be any different, and they still wanted to survive. You know, they grew their families. They survived for the potential unknown future. We don't know who's coming after us or what it's going to be like.
We don't. But to think that your father, whatever, whoever he was as a soul or a being, cared so much that he understood it. Like, I can imagine your grandchildren are going to read these letters.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I worked with my mother on her letter during COVID.
Oh, you did?
And I did. Yeah. Yeah. And it was it was right in the beginning, like maybe May 2020. So we were not together. She couldn't be part of our pod because we had teens and she's elderly, an elder person. And we worked by phone to hear her tell stories about being in camp as counselor and meeting my father or running, you know, from New Jersey, taking the train into New York for ballet classes or classes at Martha Graham. And she was transported. You know, we can access those times if given the space. She literally became 18 years old again and 16. Her voice was light. And this was a very heavy time. You know, in May 2020, it really is.
It's the art of,
yeah.
God, I'm sorry. No, the art.
I was just going to say, being able to speak this aloud. You know, we can think back to our memories and smile, but we're rarely given an opportunity to fully share different accounts of our life. You know, where someone asks, who is genuinely interested. And I have to tell you that if I hadn't been working on this letter with my mother, I mean, you might say, well, haven't I heard these stories before? I mean, I've heard segments of them, but no, I mean, you know, we're caught up in our own dynamic and in our own lives typically. So this was time that was carved out specifically for these conversations. So I was able to prompt her to retell these experiences, you know, and how she felt at the time. And I could hear it in her voice. So it was a gift to her and to me, really, for both of us.
So this is what's so interesting. So there's another gene key because everything's gene key. And I just feeling what you're doing, and it's the 13th, and it's about empathy and it's about listening. And it's like you create a space, and I hadn't seen this with your letters. Like my, like I'm going to become your best salesperson on this whole thing because I love it so much. Is that you're listening her into well-being. She's becoming alive and feeling it, and it's becoming alive in her all over again. I was like, oh, it's great for the kids. I didn't see the power of the gift to the human being who gets to tell the story. That's my point.
Yeah. I mean, this is why the primary reason why adult children gift this to their parents or their parents. It's for the experience. It's a therapeutic experience. And, you know, I work with people who in the beginning say, I don't know what I'm going to say. I just lived a normal life, nothing extraordinary. You know, what do I have to pass on? And when they hear the last part of the process is I read the letter aloud to the client, and we sit on the phone and I say, just sit back, be comfortable. And I do that because if I were just to send the letter, they would take out the red pen, you know, and say, no, this has changed. I just want them to take in all that they've shared. I mean, that they poured into the letter. And after I finish with the love mom, you know, the send off for the letter, there's always a pause. And then, wow, that sounds like me. I know I said all that, but I cannot believe it. So it's not only a chance for them to express themselves, but also to see that they have lived a full life, that they're relevant still. Because this was gifted to them, they know that the person and the family cares. And they're relevant. They can see it. They heard it. That, you know, they've made a major contribution, even for people who, you know, we're not Secretary of State. You don't have to be in a major position to have made a huge impact. So we do it in small and big ways. And it's completely clear in these letters.
There's such an, what I'm feeling is such an honoring of their life with such dignity and grace.
Yeah. In this country in particular, you know, we don't always value elder people the same way that they do in other countries. And it's one reason is because we're so far apart. You know, we're such a big country and we don't live near, you know, those closest to us. And I get to have these conversations as someone who's neutral as well.
I'm curious. I see that kids get it for their parents, but do parents, have you ever seen elderly claim their life and go, I want to do this?
Yeah, I would say about 20% of my clients are the elder people themselves who come to me. But there are, what's the word I'm looking for? Not obstacles, but I'll tell you where the pushback. So yes, there are people who come to me directly and say, I want to write a letter to my family. But the elder person quite often thinks, if my kids cared, they would ask. Or I've lived my life, now it's their turn. Or, not important.
It's one of those things, and like as I sit here and talk to it, as we're talking, it's like something you don't know until you experience it.
Exactly.
Like you won't understand the impact of what's going to happen and the beauty and the gifts and that are going to happen until I jump the line and do it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can't understand it.
It's really true.
Did your mom share with you? Yeah. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. I was just going to say that it's true. You don't know until you've done it. And that's the case, you know, with other experiences that we may have. You know, we don't know until it's almost like you don't know what you're missing. And this isn't a need to have. It's not like your will. But isn't it amazing that hopefully everybody has put together their directives and their will and you get your finances in order, but you're not like, we don't consider leaving this major enduring, not only document, but like heartfelt link. The whys behind our will, you know, so I find that to be fascinating, you know, that it, that this is considered a nice to have instead of a need to have. And in fact, there was a study done by the Stanford Longevity Institute years ago that spoke to boomers and people older and people who are considered seniors. Both agreed that legacy, that stories rather, and sentimental items were the most important part of legacy. But the older generation said, it's not my responsibility to initiate it. And the younger generation is still too busy, you know, and doesn't really want to think about death, their parents' death. And so there's that roadblock.
Well, maybe in this conversation, my wish is that the energy that we're speaking from, that it's going to take that roadblock away, because I can really feel the power of what you're doing. Mm. And it's like what's been, I want to find the word for this. It's like this has been waiting to come back, because I think it used to be in lineage, like storytelling from one, like I know in different cultures, that's how it was carried down. But we got so impressed in this culture with the now and the, you know, the Marlboro Man, the Lone Ranger, but we're not seeing the power of our ancestors. And it's like this is now coming back into fashion. And you're just part of the head. Like this is blooming again to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And you're part of the movement that's bringing it back, that this is actually a movement happening and you're just so far ahead of the curve. Mm. And that's really what's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, I think we've been feeling untethered, and it's this, you know, the lineage is an anchor. I do have to thank Ancestry and 23andMe because they did get people interested in where they came from. But what I hope to do is turn over those leaves, you know, on the tree and really say who this person was and how this person was connected to the people that came before them and the people that will come later.
There's this musician I saw, and her name is Snow Raven, and she's from Siberia. And she was the first person who sparked the power of ancestors, because she lives in a very cold region, and it's their fortitude that she was able to be there. And she thanked them before her performance. Like she really got that.
Mm. Why don't we all do that?
Well, I think that that's what you're inviting us. But I think that that's what you're inviting us to do. I think that that's what these letters are, is to remember that we are. Oh God, I just got something. I'm having the best time. Like, oh my God. I'm just seeing this, reminding how we're never alone and we're always connected to all of life and it doesn't end.
Yes. We are never alone. We are never alone. Mm.
Your father understood that.
Yeah. There's a Jewish tradition called an ethical will that some of your listeners may know about. It's centuries old, and it was a way for people to tell their children and their family how they wanted to be buried and, you know, what they expected of their children after they were gone. And it evolved over time. Like actually during the Holocaust, they found an ethical will on the inside of I don't think it was a synagogue, but it was a building where Jews had congregated, and there were two lines etched into the wall. And then the building was set on fire, so everyone perished who was inside. So it evolved from, you know, lengthier documents to really just two lines. And then with the growth of lawyers and, you know, with legal documents, the ethical will tradition went to the side and it had been lost. But like you're saying, it too is making a resurgence. So people are starting to come back to that and to realize that if we don't share from our perspective. I mean, if I go ahead and talk about my grandmother, it's from my perspective. It's not my grandmother speaking about herself, right? But we can start this new tradition where we speak about our relationship to those that came before us and to our own experiences and to what influenced us and how we then influence others. And we start that tradition, you know, we can build upon our family histories in a way that's beyond, you know, a tree. And we can really see, right? When we can see the value of this great connection. One of the last questions I ask my clients is, you know, what do you hope that the future generations, the people in your family that you're not going to meet, what do you hope that they know about your family? Not just about you, but about your family. You know, wouldn't you love to ask your great grandmother that question or your great grandfather that question?
Aviva,
I wish I could ask.
So my father died when I was 2. I didn't know him. And the way my mother dealt with him was to never talk about him. Mm. And so here's this family that I know nothing about, like, because the pain was so great. So what I see, I just see the power of this gift.
Thank you.
I'm going to be your biggest fan. Well, I'm not going to be. I think I am since the day I met you. We ran out of time. We're running out of time. We're at the end of our time. We didn't run. I choose to end it at this time. So Aviva, this is all going to be on the link in the bio, but where do people find you if they want to hire you, whether you're a new mother, whether you're a grandparent, whether you're a child and want to get it for your parents, whether you're just by yourself and want to write a letter to some future that you don't know about? How do people find you?
Thank you. So my website is familyloveletters.com. I'm also on Instagram and Facebook as Family Love Letters. And I would love to hear from people. And if you sign up for my mailing list, you'll hear some great stories and some wisdom from shared by clients. So, you know, I'd love to be in conversation with anyone who's interested.
Thank you. It's been an honor.
Oh, thank you, Anna. Same here.